Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Warning, this episode contains foul language, descriptions of death, and may cause an existential crisis.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week, we sit down with a special guest and we talk about something weird. And this week, we are discussing the big old crazy topic of reincarnation, the science, spirituality, and therapeutic revelations of past lives and experiences that are just so fascinating, we may never stop talking. So get comfy, grab a LaCroix, and let's jump in. My name is Lauren, and as always, I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos. Thanks for calling me pretty.
You sure are. And today, we're joined by a very beautiful as well and marvelous, I have to call everyone that, no, I'm just kidding, and marvelous gal pal of ours, Laura LaRue.
Hi, weirdos.
Hi. I promise that I will try to call you each by your God-given name of Lauren and Laura, because I do that all the time, where I call you Lauren and I call her Laura.
Yeah, it happens.
I've gotten a little bit better because I see you every day of my life, but it still happens, and I apologize.
Yes.
I feel like I've been encountering this problem since kindergarten.
Same.
There's always been Laura's and Lauren's in the same class.
Yep.
So it's something you live with.
I know. It's just part of our lives. Mm-hmm. This is what our parents cursed us
with. It sends me into a blind rage on the inside, but yeah. I'll be cool about it on
this
podcast.
We'll be smiling at you on top.
I had
nervous
three.
Laughter.
I had five Ashleys in my Spanish class in my junior year. Three of us were Ashley Nicole something.
Dear God.
That's crazy.
So what?
Excuse me?
Mother. My mom was like a baby nurse. What are they called? OBGYN. She wasn't an OBGYN. She was a baby nurse. She was like the nurse practitioner in the OBGYN office at the time that I was born. So it was like, you fucking knew how many Ashley Nicoles there were in this godforsaken town. And you still called me that. You witch?
You damn witch.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's plain.
No resentment
rude.
There.
No resentment there. No, I'm totally fine. I'm totally fine with my stupid name that everyone has. Laura, what do you do?
I work in the entertainment industry in production. Yeah. Been out here for about 7 years now. I'm from Illinois, Midwest.
Yes. Yeah, y'all. Yes.
Midwest love.
Yeah, from the Chicagoland area. I could say Chicago, but like then people ask, and then I'm like, well, I'm 30 minutes outside of Chicago, and they're like, oh, you're, so you're
least
not
just
really
30 minutes though. People stretch it to like 2 hours, and that's they're like, true. I'm from Chicago. Just kidding, I'm from Peoria. Like, it's not even close.
Right. I mean, that's a lot easier than describing where Peoria is in Illinois.
It's true.
Just say Chicago.
It's Chicago.
And then that's the end of that's the end.
I like that we all had to do the accent.
Yeah,
Chicago.
It was a nice harmony there.
You don't have quite as thick a dialect as Miss Hanselman.
No.
Like, you meet a man, thick. You're like, you're from Chicago. Yep. So you're in the entertainment industry. You're in production.
Yes.
You've been out here for 7 years. You went to college with me.
I did.
Yes. We went to SIUC. Whoop, whoop. I almost said EU, which would be ridiculous because that's not where we went. We went to SIUC together.
Boo, Edwardsville. Yay, Carbon.
Yeah, Edwardsville sucks. We called it, what do we call it? SIU. It was like the fake SIU, but I don't remember the name. Do you remember the name we had
No,
for
I don't
it?
Think I knew SIU. About this.
Damn. I'll think of it halfway through this episode, and I'll just shout it.
Yeah, just shout it out.
I'm just going to shout it. It doesn't matter what topic we're on. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. What was I going to say? Something about reincarnation.
I mean, the reason I think you asked me on this podcast yes. is because I've always expressed a interest in reincarnation.
You have.
I have had dreams myself of past lives that I chalk up to just my dreams because I have some really intense dreams.
Yeah.
But it's something that I've always thought, wouldn't it be neat if like I had all these past lives. Yeah, that when I go into an old house, I could turn around and be like, oh my God, this is where I used to churn butter or something.
Churn butter.
I
love the idea of
my
that.
Booties.
I mean, it's like what we always say on the show. Isn't it more fun to believe than to not believe and just say, it's probably just a dream. It's more fun to say, I lived these crazy past lives.
Mm-hmm. You know those dreams, though, that are like so insanely detailed and vivid that you're just like.
That had to be real.
What was that?
Yeah. Well, what the hell was that?
What was that?
I've definitely had dreams. This is kind of weird and this is totally off subject, but I've definitely had dreams and like I started keeping a journal because locations that I've been in my dreams, I've actually gone to in my real life.
Oh.
And now there have been two that I have written down. And then like 6 months later, it's nothing important. It's like, oh, in my dream, I go to this gas station to buy an elephant and I leave and I describe that. And like the gas station. And then it's something more specific than a gas station.
Sure.
The first one I described was an Airbnb we stayed in Italy.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, yeah, it was a random dream. We went up the staircase. We looked on this balcony. And then when we went to Italy, it was, oh, I know the staircase. I've been on this balcony. This is weird.
But I dreamt this.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's always too when you've written it down.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing with dreams is that there are literal dreams that feel like recurring dreams,
mm-hmm.
but aren't even recurring dreams. You just, in the dream, you feel like you've been there before,
right.
and you haven't even been there before. Well, it's just
I'm married to a skeptic and an atheist. So when I would tell him like, oh my God, I totally did this. He goes, you know, that's just, it's all in your brain. Like it's just
that's
scientific.
All bullshit.
They've already proved this.
So then when you could pull out your diary and be like, actually,
look at this, sir.
I did those two things. He's just gone, huh. That's weird.
Oh my gosh. Just a little.
Interesting.
I love him so much, but he is such a skeptic. But he puts up with my hoodoo and my voodoo and my spiritualism.
As long as he still
he's
loves
a good
you. And, yeah, he goes for it. My husband's
he's a good
the same way.
It.
He hates it all, but as long as he stays with me and listens to me ramble on, that's fine.
Joe was the same way, but I think I've converted him.
You've changed him a little bit. Like he's actually kind
completely.
Of going for it now.
He's
yeah.
kind of going
Tom
for
Alex
it.
Ever
and
will.
He's still, and he's also like starting to have his own experiences where he's like, God damn it.
Ashley, what have you brought?
What did you do to me? Anyways.
My water wasn't sitting there, Penny. I don't need that table.
Penny's kind of just taken over the living room today. So if you hear shouting her name, she's probably...
Got her claws in my foot.
Got her claws in. Laura's foot. See? Look.
There you go.
I did it.
Oh my God, good job.
I did it. So this week we're talking about reincarnation. Who believes in it? Why they believe in it? Theories, the science, and even some like crazy real world stories. And as per usual on this show, we are going to be talking about like our research and we're going to be talking about things that we don't necessarily believe in fully ourselves, although we may have been swayed while doing the research
yeah.
one way or the other for this episode, but we are just presenting it as this is what we've learned while we researched this. So yeah. I always like to say that when we're dipping into things like religion.
Sure.
Because I'm going to be talking today myself. I'm talking a lot about religion, and I definitely want to just stress that, like, just talking about religion.
Yep.
I have no stake in this. I have no horse in this race. Mm-hmm. I have no cat on this table.
Oh, oh.
I'm just talking about religion. Going down.
False. You do have a cat
False,
on the table.
I do have the cat on the table. Anyway, so.
Yeah, we're just reading our research. We're sharing info mm-hmm. with you and each other. Take it for what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, have I mean, some fun today, with it, people.
Yeah, today's yeah. not going to be too much. I'm not shitting on Christianity as much as I usually do, so I think we should be.
Oh, bummer.
We should be okay.
Darn.
But just in case I do once or twice.
Disclaimer.
Okay. Disclaimer right now at the beginning of the episode. So I'm going to be focusing on the religious aspects and the implications of reincarnation. And I think when most people think of religions who believe in reincarnation, they think of like Buddhism, Hinduism,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. Which, yes, but also it's important to understand that every single religion, even just spiritualism, believes in some sort of reincarnation. Because reincarnation simply means a new version of something of the past. So whether that means you're born into a new physical body in this dimension, or you're born into a new state of being after death, they're both describing reincarnation. So technically, Christians who believe in dying and then passing on to another form and going to heaven,
that's still reincarnation. Yeah.
But today we're focusing more on the type of reincarnation that is more literal, yeah. more like past lives, living again, future lives, et cetera, et cetera. You know.
Life after death.
Life, yeah.
Sort of.
In a heavenly
An afterlife. In a
sense. Yeah, or the hell. Afterlife. It's kind of an afterlife.
Yeah, it depends what kind of person afterlife. You are. Yeah, it's kind of weird after like doing this research because I thought I had all of my terms down. And then I did the research and I was like, you'll see. Everything's like completely jumbled. So the subject of reincarnation has been around since pretty much the beginning of time. The Greeks wrote about reincarnation. The Druids taught a doctrine of reincarnation. But it's kind of unclear whether or not it popped up organically in all these different places, or if it was passed on due to like cultures meeting each other.
Yeah.
But there's also the idea of being reborn in Norse mythology. Throughout the Middle Ages in Europe, and even some Jewish religions, well, sects like Kabbalah, which mm-hmm. is not really a religion.
Hey,
it's like hipster Judaism.
Hipster Judaism. Yeah.
But yeah, they even teach the belief in transmigration of souls, which you did a little bit of research on.
A little bit.
I have a pretty crazy transmigration story. Hopefully, we can get to today.
Ooh.
But when we're talking about the most like literal translation of reincarnation, most people think Buddhists and Hinduism, and that they believe that you die and you come back as a cow, and that's why they don't eat burgers. That's also not accurate at all. And I honestly thought that too.
That's why they don't eat meat
because they think you could come back as a cow. No. So there are forms of Buddhism that do believe in that kind of reincarnation, but they're very, very few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
Even like Tibetan Buddhists, they don't necessarily believe that you're going to come back as like a locust or something, but mm-hmm. they do believe that the Buddha like broke off into 1,000 pieces and is constantly being reborn.
Oh.
So this is really fascinating. I didn't know any of this. And that they're constantly seeking out like baby Buddhas to train to be like Tibetan monks to eventually become the Dalai Lama.
So they're trying to find people that they believe
have a little bit of the Buddha in them. And then that's how they eventually become the Dalai Lama.
How do they differentiate?
I have no idea.
How do they find the baby Buddhas?
I actually like truly after doing like this sliver of research, I'm like, I have to figure this out. Like I have to read books and books and books on the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Because I did not understand what it was. and now I'm fascinated.
I have heard something about that a little bit when they're picking kids who supposedly have like a little bit of Buddha in them. I love that phrase now.
A little bit of Buddha in you.
But they set out like a variety of toys, only one of which belonged to like the previous Dalai Lama. And like the kids will go and choose their toys, and if one
chooses the Dalai Lama's toy.
Then
interesting.
That's a little bit of Buddha in them.
Yeah, a little bit of Buddha in you.
I'm gonna start saying that to people when they do something like really nice. We'd be like, "You got a little Buddha in you." Then I'm gonna touch their belly. Then I'm gonna get my hand chopped off because no one likes that.
Nobody wants their belly touched.
Wants their belly touched, including Buddha. Buddha was like, "Could you not?"
That's what you remember me for. You rub my tummy.
My big belly.
Great. It was a long summer.
I had some indigestion. One time.
Lots of snacks.
I was sitting cross-legged. Anyways, so there's actually, this is just kind of like a side note that I think is really interesting. There's an 11-year-old boy in Minnesota right now,
oh yeah,
who's been chosen by the Dalai Lama as one of the new Buddhas.
Excuse me,
he is a Tibetan monk. Minnesota has the second largest Tibetan monk community in the United States.
Where are they?
Oh,
interesting.
So usually when these baby Buddhas are found, they get taken to, you know, like the Himalayas to train for like 10, 15 years, and then they get sent back to wherever they were found to be a Tibetan monk. Mm-hmm. However, this Dalai Lama, the current Dalai Lama, he's the 14th, and he's super rad, really into him. He actually wants him to like continue living there and like live a normal kid's life. And then once he hits like maybe 17, 18, they'll take him to the Himalayas and like train him for 10 years and then send him back to Minnesota. But there's like really adorable pictures of him reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid, like in his Tibetan monk garb.
How old is he?
That is adorable.
He's 11 now. I'm pretty sure he was 8 or 9 when he was chosen, though, to be.
He was discovered.
The little baby Buddha.
Oh, my gosh. Reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I know.
It's so cute. I'll show it to you. If you remember, I will show you this picture of this adorable little guy. And that, you know, that like, what the Dalai Lama wears. I don't know what it's called. It's like the orange and red.
Yeah.
Yeah, the robes.
Yeah, robes. Love it.
That's so great.
Super fascinating. Anyway, back to what we're here to talk about. So Buddhist reincarnation is not what everyone thinks it is. It's not so much that you're going to die and become an animal or die and become another person, but they believe essentially that there are 10 different realms of being. The Buddha, obviously, at the top, and then the very bottom is essentially hell. And the goal is essentially to get as close to Buddha as possible. But they're more mental and spiritual states of beings and not realms as in like dimensions.
Okay.
For example, the states of mind are created by our thoughts, actions, and our words. So like the realm of human beings has all of the states of being from hell to Buddha. Like man is at the same time capable of real selfishness, which creates his own hell. Or is truly compassionate, reflecting the compassion of the Buddha. Oh. So when you hear people talk about having like an old soul, that's referring to the fact that you have already evolved through several of these realms or these states of mind, whether in this lifetime or 20, depending on how what kind of reincarnation you believe in. So like new souls have a much harder time navigating the world. What realm you live in depends on how you live. So if you're hungry for power, love, attention, self-recognition, you live in what's known as the Pareta world, and you're known as a hungry soul. So these are very needy people, very attention-seeking, desperate people. If you are motivated only by the thirst of the human organism, you're existing in the world of the beast. So if you're a sex addict, if you're a drug addict, that's a different level of state of being as well. So if you're very, I like to think of it as like people who are warm and compassionate and have empathy, they're a lot closer to Buddha than say the people like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like right. Screaming about building a wall and sure.
He's
like
definitely in his own personal
afraid, being afraid 100%. Of like other in terms of skin color, race, sexual right. orientation,
yeah.
those people seem like they just, they're not quite close to where they need to be
yeah.
to reach Buddha or Nirvana or heaven if you're a Christian and you call it heaven. So like within one lifetime, you can actually rise all the way to the realm of the Buddha, or you can fall all the way to hell, and you can do that several times. Mm. Like you see people who have become addicted to something and beat that addiction and ended up, you know, dying of an overdose.
Right.
Because they have like got, they have risen to the top and then fallen and all then the way to the bottom, down. Which is really sad.
Yeah.
But the goal is to become completely at peace, completely enlightened, completely one, if you will. And then you break that cycle and you can move on to the next realm. And when it comes to Buddhas, or Buddhists rather, they don't know, like they don't have a next realm. They don't have like an afterlife.
It's just here on this earth.
It's like here on this earth. But the thing is like even if they believe in like the actual physical reincarnation, like you get, you reincarnate and you're born again until you have reached Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, they don't know what happens after that. They just know that that is the goal. That is why we are here, is to reach Buddha, mm-hmm. reach like total enlightenment. And then you become the universe.
Oh,
but what does that mean?
Nice. Yeah. Like it sounds
like it's not like Christianity great. Where it's like you'll have gold,
you'll be
and
in
you'll,
paradise
right you'll, yeah be in paradise clouds. You'll
it's
be
the
in a
transcending
beach.
Of like wanting
yeah. yeah
like you'll be at peace, you won't want anything, so you'll kind of just,
you'll
be,
just be
you'll just be
you'll be happy
yeah, yeah.
You'll just be, you'll just be stars complete, I don't know
be like, the stars
I can get into that.
I know, so that's pretty cool. It's
I like
and
it.
I actually learned like when I was researching, after I was reading about Buddhism, they essentially believe in the law of conservation of energy, only this was thousands of years before that was a thing. So law of conservation of energy is that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just right. is.
Yeah.
And so that's what they mean when they say like become one with the universe or become one with the world you live in. It's just that like we are constantly sharing, every organism on the planet is sharing energy to and from each other. Mm-hmm. So when they're say, you know, become one, it's sort of like realize that you are no more important than the cockroach crawling across the floor right now. Just kidding.
Don't do that.
We could say like something like a lotus flower.
A lotus flower.
That's
sure.
nice too.
So much.
Did you like my dad joke?
That was real good.
It made that up on the spot. So
dads everywhere are,
are loving it.
Cackling.
It cackling. Up.
So essentially Buddhism is the exact same as Christianity, only they're better.
There is such a hard bias in this episode. We started with the disclaimer and it's been all
like,
downhill
hey,
from
here. I had to have a say horse something. In the race. Then you're like, this one's better for sure.
Well, there's not as many bigots in the Buddhist community. It doesn't
right.
sound
like you
so.
Can be. I mean, if you are, like you're in your own personal hell. Like
that's true.
Yeah. So
like, if you're a good
ascend,
Buddhist, you'll be
damn
happy.
It.
Yes.
Yeah. Just ascend, man. Jesus.
So in the same way Christians want to live a holy life and want their thoughts and actions to mirror that of their God or Jesus to ultimately die and are welcomed into the realm of heaven, Buddhists are the exact same. They just call their teacher or their Jesus Buddha, mm-hmm. and their heaven is sort of like the universe.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like a place in the Ooh. Cloud. So when it comes to like who believes in reincarnation and who doesn't, major denominations of Christianity actually reject the concept of reincarnation, although there was some study done and at least 30% of American Christians believe in reincarnation, huh. and 50% of European Christians believe in reincarnation. So,
oh.
and it's actually really well documented. There was this ancient, early Christian times theologist who, this is like common, well, not common knowledge. I don't think like the average Joe on the street knows this. In terms of theologists right now, it's common knowledge that there were texts that were mistranslated into Latin due to a religious bias that taught reincarnation. This ancient
Whoa.
Christian times theologian. Is that how you say it?
Theologian? Yeah.
Theologian?
I'll allow it.
Theologist?
We're going to agree.
We're gonna allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing people really need to remember about a lot of religions, but Christianity Catholicism, especially the Bible, was rewritten and retranslated over 100 times. And it was rewritten and retranslated by people who were in power and had a reason to rewrite and retranslate things to serve themselves.
Yeah.
So they were not anywhere near Buddha.
No, not even close.
They were creating their own personal hells.
They were in the land of the beast, realm of the beast. Is that what it's called? Anyways.
That does sound like a fun party zone, though. Realm of the beast.
Realm of the beast. It actually, honestly, every time I read it, I was reminded of What We Do in the Shadows. Beast.
What part?
Beast. His ex-wife or his ex-girlfriend.
The beast.
She calls her the beast. I think I just spoiled the...
That's a big surprise.
It's
fine.
Whatever. If you haven't seen it yet,
what are you doing with your
who
life?
Who even are you? Why are you listening to this show?
We talk about it on almost every episode. People should know. We've brought it up so many times.
There should be movie requirements for this show. Oh, like, if you want to be a fan, you
Exorcist
have to
3 is top of the list.
Exorcist 3, I talk about it actually, all the time.
That's actually the most talked about, and then What We Do in the Shadows.
And then What We Do in the Shadows.
And maybe Phantoms.
I was going to say, Phantoms has got to be up there somewhere. I talk about that a lot.
Oh, God.
I love Ben Affleck, man. It's not true. He's horrible in that. But Liev Schreiber is great.
Well, that one I can say non-sarcastically. Liev Schreiber is amazing.
Liev Schreiber is fantastic.
But come on, who doesn't love Ben Affleck?
Everyone now. Doesn't he have weird tattoos now, like all over his back?
God, I hope so.
Have you seen that? After Jen.
Well, they're back together, right?
Both Jens. Oh, are they? Oh, I shouldn't talk bad then. Yay.
Are they back together?
Maybe. I thought so.
She's too good for him.
I get my news from the checkout counter at the grocery store when I'm like scanning the star and people.
I saw one today with Brad Pitt on the cover and it said Jen's making his life a living hell. Or Angelina, not Jen.
I'm thinking of the other Jen.
No, Angelina is making his life a living hell right now. One.
You know, speaking of them being in contact, I wouldn't be mad about it because Angelina and Brad didn't work out. Jen didn't work out with what's-his-face, Justin Theroux. So, like, come back together, guys. We all hope for it.
I do miss the hair that he had with Jennifer Aniston.
Like the spiky blonde?
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, and when he was in his Fight Club body. He's too old.
Ooh, yeah. He can't get back to that.
I know,
there's no going back to that.
Remember how beautiful
that was. Insane. That was the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Just one of a moment. I actually have a lot of saliva in my mouth after thinking of him in Fight Club. I'm like about to start drooling, actually.
Do you need a bucket?
He's so beautiful.
He's spittoon. I actually just got really hot, too. And I think it's because we started talking about Brad Pitt's Fight Club body.
Woo!
And the thing is, I don't really like muscular men. But he was like... beyond
he
muscular
he wasn't even just like a big buff dude, he was like lean and had abs.
What was
he
happening
was
right here because Eight it pack. Wasn't like abs they were like flat abs.
Yeah, he was like, he was toned without being like disgusting gym douchebag, you know.
Yeah.
I was more into Meatloaf in that movie.
I mean,
Bitch Tits Bob,
oh my god,
love Meatloaf in
his
that
name
movie
was Robert
well.
Paulson, guys.
Okay. Anywho.
Anyway.
What are we talking about?
Hinduism, I think. So, where was I? Oh, this is... Okay, so Hinduism, on the other hand, believes in dying and being reborn on Earth as another person or animal.
Okay.
They are also devout believers in karma, which I'll get to very quickly. They don't believe in a permanent version of heaven or hell, but that souls are constantly in and out of both by way of the lives that they live and the karma that they obtain. So even gods in Hinduism die once their karmic merit runs out.
Oh.
I didn't know that. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's crazy.
What are the gods doing that their karmic,
I know,
that their merit runs out?
He was kind of a half-ass god. Like, his heart
yeah,
wasn't really
was a little
in
bit,
it.
He was a derelict. So their reincarnation is endless to the soul until the soul gains what's called moksha, which is believed to be a state of utter bliss and releases them into the universe, much like Buddhism. They call it nirvana, if you've heard. Have you heard of Nirvana? It was a band.
The band.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know? Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah. Nirvana, the band, they died in 1994.
All of them?
They
all of them, I think.
Went
yeah,
away.
Sounds right.
The
they
whole
lived
band.
In Washington, D.C., So there are a ton of religions that believe in reincarnation in one form or the other. And even if the religion as a whole doesn't believe in it, there are sects of those religions that do. Like I said earlier, like Jewish people don't believe in reincarnation. But Kabbalists? Madonna. Madonna does.
The cool ones.
Is she still into Kabbalah?
I know nothing about Madonna.
Oh, well, remember when she wore like the little red thread around her wrist? It was like a whole thing because everyone was like, what is this? That was forever ago, though.
I remember when she played on a women's baseball team. And that's about all I know about
Madonna. The Peaches?
Yeah, the Rockford Peaches, I think.
The Rockford Peaches. She was a great ball player.
Girls can't play ball.
Girls can't play ball.
Even, oh, this is interesting, even Islam has an order called the Sufi Islam that believe in reincarnation. So literally every single religion in the world, some part of that religion believes in a process of reincarnation. So I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Devout religious purists, though, say that the belief in reincarnation is appealing because it lets the person know that they'll have another chance. Like, they'll be able to get away with a little more because they won't be judged after one lifetime alone. But that's not exactly true if you look at it. So if you take away the Christian idea of heaven and hell, because the Christian idea of heaven and hell, it's like they found a way to teach it to young little babies. And then that's how they all believe in it. It's like heaven is up in the clouds with a God that looks like Santa. Yeah. And hell is down in the earth.
Under the ground, it's like, and it's fire.
Fire.
And our little red guy with a pitchfork.
Yes, exactly. But if you think of it that way, like after we leave our physical body, we can't feel physical pain. So being tossed into a fire, it's not a literal fire. It's like an emotional and a mental fire. Mm-hmm. It's a mental anguish. It's not a physical
anguish.
You're
not being burnt. Your body isn't being burnt.
Your body isn't being burnt. Yeah. You don't have a body anymore.
Right. Right.
So I understand why they teach that to like children, but the fact that like adults kind of believe
that
as well.
Adults grab onto that and run with it. Yeah.
But that's kind of the idea when it comes to reincarnation that people don't understand, how it's not just like, yeah, you can do whatever because you're just going to be born again. Hell can be and is for a lot of people on earth all the time.
Yeah.
Like imagine, like what if hell... If reincarnation is real, heaven and hell can still exist. They just all exist here. So what if you're just born over and over again into the life of a drug addict or into the life of someone who's constantly being abused or into
like the same painful life?
Yes. Life and life and life that ends in suicide, suicide, suicide. Like that is hell.
Yeah.
That's absolutely hell. Mm-hmm. You can be in hell and still be a person
for all eternity,
right?
On earth for all eternity. So it does
that's
not
true pain and anguish. Yes. Right there, that would be helpful.
Honestly, that seems like worse, I think, than I mean, who knows?
Definitely.
I've never been thrown in a river of fire, so
that's true.
I think of the Black Mirror episode with John Hamm where
the Christmas
episode. I guess I won't spoil, even though again it's older, so you should have seen it by now. But like how it ends with. Okay, that's it. You
yes,
know what I mean.
Exactly.
That would be hell.
Do you know what she means?
Totally.
Okay.
No, I don't know what you mean.
You should watch it. It's depressing.
It's so good.
It's the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
I am under the category of viewers who watched the very first Black Mirror episode. That's what everybody says, but man, did that stick with me.
Here's the thing.
That was my husband. I showed him that one, my mistake, and he's like, nope, I'll never watch this again. They're not all like that.
I did watch the second one, I think, where they're like running on credits and like on treadmills.
I love that one, but that's really sad too.
American. Yeah, it's just a bummer.
Oh, yeah, there's a sadness to them. Yeah, they are. But there are some that are like the first one is insanely dark. It's to a next level.
It's just grotesque.
It's gross.
I wouldn't even call it. Well, I guess yeah, definitely
it
dark,
is dark, but
it's just grotesque.
It's so disturbing.
It's one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen.
I will never
watch it again. The first
the very first one.
The very first episode of Black Mirror. It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. I'll never watch it again.
The best episode of television. Did you see the Parks and Rec when they go to the snake hole and all get drunk?
That is my favorite episode. Ron Swanson dancing with the tiny hat is beautiful.
Everybody instantly started pictures of all television.
Ron Swanson.
Baba Booey.
That's my That is the best that episode the of
That's
television.
That's fair.
Okay.
Black Mirror is garbage and no one should ever watch it.
They should, reshoot it all with the cast of Parks and Rec.
Oh, no.
So, ooh, watching Ron Swanson dance with the little hat would be heaven if you could watch that on loop for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah.
If you could live a life where you could watch that anytime you want. Right now, we're in heaven because we can just turn on Netflix.
Flip it on.
And watch the
Guys, we've
episode.
Made it.
We're in heaven. We've done it.
We did it.
We were great.
Done, I never have bad taste. What I wanted to talk about too is the idea of karma, which... Again, I keep comparing it to Christianity mostly because that's what the three of us know the most about because we were raised in that world. Were you raised?
I was Lutheran.
Lutheran, me too. That's
we went
right.
To the same
because
convention
we sang
in Florida.
The same songs.
That too.
The I am a C.
I am a C-H.
I am a C-H-R-E-S-T-I-A-N.
I've started singing that, but with the B-I-T-C-H. It doesn't really work as well, but that's what gets stuck in my head.
I am a B-I.
I'm a B-I-T-C-H. I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, that's it.
It's beautiful.
That's the new song.
It gets stuck in my head randomly. And it's just like, this isn't a real song, but I'm just singing over to myself.
I just love that it's one of those songs where it's like the person who was writing it forgot how the song was going. Because once they get to the I will live eternally, it's like, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. And it's like, where were you going with this?
What have I
and
done?
And they teach that to a bunch of like 5-year-olds. So like, it doesn't sound right.
It's just
And it kind of reminds me of that John Mulaney joke about writing a happy birthday card.
Yes.
How it's like you always start out with like a big ass H and then you're
and
like,
then you
oh,
always have
no.
to squeeze it like a
tiny little. And then you go to the next line and you're like, oh, big ass B. Yeah. And then you're like, I didn't learn.
I did it again.
So anyways, karma is the sum of a person's actions in this and previous incarnations of your life. Kind of like the Christian act of sinning. It's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually, this is really, a lot of people who have experienced near death experiences say that the worst part was having to feel everything you ever made anyone else feel.
Yikes. Jeez.
So did you break someone's heart? You have to feel that pain. Did you murder someone? You have to feel that pain. And that is like the sum of your karma or the sum
but
of your sins.
But then on the plus side, so like if you made someone feel loved, you get to feel that.
Yes.
Okay.
So it goes both ways.
So it goes both ways.
That's nice.
So at the end of your life.
Oh, that sounds fair. It does. I mean, that is very fair. But yeah, I just think of like even things where I didn't mean to hurt someone, but I still did by a small
where
action.
Where you like hurt like, someone's feelings.
Yeah, like the exclusion or having a heartbroken. Woo! It's rough.
Yeah, that's tough. And I don't know if it was like, you know, I'm talking about this as if like it's 100% real and it's going to happen to all of us. But I was going to say, I don't know if it's the same with like Christianity because like the sins are different. Like karma is kind of like be nice to people. You know, and Christianity is too. It's kind of the golden rule, like do unto others as
right.
You
but then
do
there's also
yourself.
Like don't eat fish on Friday or like don't eat pork
on
Fridays.
There's like all these added rules.
Is it don't eat
no
fish
sense,
on Fridays or don't eat pork? I'm not Catholic. I just know there's something about fish.
I don't know, but
I mean,
do
Catholic
know
anymore.
That you
I was
can
raised Catholic,
eat
but I don't remember
that there are fish fries because I went to a hell a ton of those fish fries and they were delicious.
It's definitely during Lent there's tons of rules about the meat that you can have
right
but
like that's just it is a sin really that major if
right
oh no I ate this one thing
I'm gonna
had
suffer
ham. For all eternity
I had ham I'm gonna burn
and with
I'm
karma it's just like just be nice to people
love
just be nice
guys
what did I tell you
bottom line.
So that's the process in which you're being judged at the end. And you will be judged and your next life will be chosen so you can learn the lessons in which you did not learn the last go around. Mm. So if you are a very, very selfish person in one incarnation, the next incarnation, you maybe get stuck with, I don't know, a narcissistic person. Mm. So you learn what it feels like.
To be around a selfish, crazy.
With a very selfish person.
That's interesting.
Then you learn that lesson.
Yeah. I know. Again, it's like, that sounds fair.
That sounds super
sounds totally fair. Yeah. I'm totally into this.
Yeah. Yes. Guys, let's be Buddhists.
This makes sense to me.
Yeah. I'm going to convert.
Tina Turner.
Those
did
robes
it,
look
so
comfy.
I know. Most of my clothes are basically Buddhist monk it's garbs.
You're halfway
like
there.
To wear loose fitting.
But how would you look in orange?
Oof. I don't look good in orange.
I don't look, good in orange.
Yikes.
But I have been thinking about starting my own cult.
Ooh, do tell.
Where we wear like more. Teal.
Ooh.
Do I have teal in here?
Right?
What would you call
I
this?
I would classify
doesn't
that.
Look
like
bad.
A teal-ish.
Nice
teal.
Color.
Teal-ish.
It would be like the...
My hair?
The Yes,
duh.
Just like
We're
your
all
hair.
Like, where's teal? Let's try and point it out. It's literally on Laura's head.
For all
Laura
the viewers
has teal
to
hair
see.
Right now.
Viewers, can you see it? It's pretty.
Wild Wild Country. Duh. The Rajneeshis. It'll
you
be like the Rajneeshis, like but instead of like red and orange, it'll be like teals and
gold.
Gold.
Ooh, I like
teal and gold. Pretty.
That would be such a pretty commune.
Right?
Those colors all mixed together.
I love that we're picking our
cult.
So obviously we're going to come back in a personal hell of vanity.
Yes. Can't wait.
Let's pick out the rubs for our cult ladies.
Yay.
So we've been talking a lot about religion. We're talking about Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism. Now say you don't believe in God at all. Say you're an atheist. Atheists can actually still believe in reincarnation. An atheist is simply someone who does not believe in God or gods.
Okay.
So you can still believe in reincarnation as a natural occurrence. So you'd have to take out all the judgment stuff, all the lessons being learned and things like that. But it could technically happen naturally, especially if you focus on Einstein's theory of conservation of energy, which we talked about. That whatever energy that occurs to keep us animated and alive cannot be destroyed in death. It would make sense that our energy would be absorbed by a nearby life form.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with proving any theories on reincarnation is simply that we can't even prove that we have a soul, much less understand the human consciousness.
Very true.
So, you know, there have been scientific studies done, which we're going to talk about now, but... there's no way to prove, for example, like when a baby is growing inside of you, when does consciousness occur? Mm-hmm. We know when like the lungs form. We know when toesies come out. But we cannot say consciousness occurs at 7 months.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So there's no way to, I mean, we can't even concur that like consciousness happens once the baby is born.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like age one.
Right.
Well, because you think of how you have no memories or anything. So, I mean, not that that's necessarily tied together, but yeah, what is consciousness?
What is consciousness?
The definition is like self-aware, and babies aren't really self-aware.
No.
So you could
unless.
Oh.
You watch Look Who's Talking.
You're right.
Because Bruce Willis' baby is totally self-aware.
That's right.
Right away.
What was I thinking?
You're right. We're wrong.
Or
what
you're
I
wrong.
Thinking.
Look Who's Talking showed us the way.
Look Who's Talking really taught me everything I need to know about babies.
It is interesting.
And John Travolta.
You get there, John Travolta. It's interesting that we can't remember anything. I mean, I guess some people are like, oh, I remember something from when I was 3. I don't think I remember anything before like 4.
I truly can't.
Like, why are we able to talk and form sentences at age 2, but we don't remember it? That's what's driving me crazy.
And, you know, if you look at animals, like, does Gabby have a consciousness?
Right.
Is she aware of what she is?
Mm-hmm. I am a kitty cat.
I'm a kitty cat. I bite Lauren.
I bite Lauren's leg.
Anyway, so we are now going to talk about scientific studies, because there have been scientific studies done on reincarnation. It's not just a bunch of witches and warlocks that talk about it, and Buddhists. I shouldn't call them witches and warlocks, but
well, and it's actually kind of interesting. You guys were talking about not having memories of 2 or 3, because what I found in my research, I went very scientific, again, to reiterate, living with the atheist, it kind of makes me do that.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
A lot of research has been done, and in most cases, it's found in children between the ages of 2 and 7.
See, what?
Yes. And I'll just leave that there as a little teaser as I get into it.
deet, 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 deet.
Yes.
How, where, what?
Researchers at the University of Virginia have studied young children's reports of past life memories for the last, like, 54 years.
Oh, wow.
The most well-known being
Even Steven.
I'm so sorry.
The Nickelodeon Disney Channel.
I am Come so on. Sorry. I wish it was Even Stevens. No, it was Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
being Ian Stevenson. Ashley has the book right there.
Hello. He is the king.
Yeah, no, he's great. He started back in the 1960s. And in his career, he researched, documented, and discovered over 2,500 cases worldwide of reincarnation. The easiest to find are in cultures with beliefs in reincarnation. And in places that have produced the most cases include India, Sri Lanka, Turkey, Lebanon, Thailand, and Myanmar.
Which some people would say that that discredits this
sort of.
However,
I was gonna say cases have been found where anyone has looked for them, including all the continents. Like, they're mainly heavy in those areas, but that's just because in those religions, in those areas, they believe in reincarnation.
Yeah,
so if a child was to come forward saying, I think I'm somebody else, they'd go, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, who do you think you are?
Where in Western cultures and European cultures, Stevenson published a book of European cases, and numerous cases have been found in the United States as well. But in the West, it seems to be less common because some parents are reluctant to disclose, even to close friends and families in times, what their children have said. Because
they're
just
probably embarrassed and thinking, hey, my kid's crazy.
Well, the thing is, the kid's enough. Like, mommy, once I was an astronaut. They're like, great.
Yes,
that's
you were.
You were an astronaut. Anytime you want to be, just imagine it. Yeah.
A lot of these, they go into it with a skeptical mind. This guy, Ian Stevenson, I'm going to struggle saying his name,
Steven.
Though.
We can just call him Even Stevens. We do that all the time.
We
just make up names.
Even Stevens. He took a very analytical approach to these cases. Psychiatrist Harold Leaf later described him as a methodical, careful, and even cautious investigator whose personality is on the obsessive side. He never assumed he knew the cause of the cases, but would simply work to determine precisely what the facts of each case were. He made no grand claims about the work and indicated by the title of his first book, 20 Cases of Suggestive Reincarnation.
See, I like that. Yeah. He's straight up like, hey, these are the facts.
Yeah, I will tell you. This is not a fun book to read. This is not fantastical in any way.
Yeah.
It is a literal
textbook. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Journal of American Medical Association reviewed his book and stated, in regards to reincarnation, he has a painstakingly and an unemotional collected and detailed series of cases in which the evidence is difficult to explain on any other grounds.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're basically saying it's really boring.
Yeah.
But
what
I kind of believe in what he's saying.
Yeah. I'm buying it because what the hell else is going on?
Right. And a lot of these cases, these children will claim to be somebody else. And most of them, okay, cool kid. Like,
sure.
We heard your story. Your parents can corroborate it. It's very strange, but we have no proof.
Yeah.
There are cases, though, where kids will get very specific of where they once lived, who their families were, what killed them. A lot of times the deaths that they remember are unexplained or like just horribly violent, something like that.
Something traumatic.
Kind of seems like a ghost with unfinished business.
Yeah. Or, you know, think about having time to prepare for your death and accepting it and having your life literally like ripped away from you in like some tragic or violent situation.
Right.
It would be like slowly laying down on the ground or having the rug pulled out from under you, hitting the ground. Like, which one is going to be worse?
Yep.
So typical features in these cases, the subjects tend to be young children, like I said. They typically begin describing a previous life when they are 2 or 3 years old, and they usually stop by age 6 to 7. They make statements spontaneously without the use of hypnotic regression. They also describe ordinary lives, usually in the same country. The one part of the life that is often out of the ordinary, like I said, is the mode of death, as 70% of the deaths are by unnatural means.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's a lot.
And it must have something to do with the fact that it was shocking.
Oh, yeah.
That they remember it. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah. Some subjects have reported being deceased family members, whereas others say they were strangers in another location. If they give enough details, such as name of that location, then people have often gone there and identified a deceased individual, the previous personality whose life appears to match the statement that the child made. When the cases are investigated, history is obtained from as many people as possible. This includes the children if they're willing or able to talk. Sometimes they're like they're yeah. toddlers. They can barely form
they don't
a sentence.
Really understand right. why this weird man
as well as
is in
parents
their living room.
Who have heard the children describing past life memories. The other side of the case is then investigated. The previous family is interviewed to determine how accurate the child's statements are for the life of the previous personality. Attempts are made to obtain autopsies or medical records of the previous personalities if they are relevant. If the two families have not met, tests can also be conducted to see if the subject can recognize people from the previous life.
Oh, wow.
Like they're very, there's not really a control for this. So it's hard yeah. to make it scientific. But
right.
this guy really went in with how factual can we make this?
Well, the yeah. thing that you can prove is whether or not they're lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can prove that they're lying, case closed. If yep. you can't prove that they're lying, then what else is going on?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what
then
I mean?
Then let's dig a little deeper and yeah. see what this could be.
And like for the skeptics out there, I found these really two interesting quotes. One from a previous topic, Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
I know he was kind of going craze balls at the end of his at the end
poop,
of his life
poo-poo platform over them.
Oh, but can I just take a moment to say that I really want that poop machine?
Yes.
Oh, I would die
we
for that
do.
Poop machine.
We
I've been constipated for 2 days.
Why hasn't somebody patented that yet? And just
we
like
all have
you know
those
the United States government
come out
has
need
those
it.
Blueprints.
Oh my gosh,
I know.
It's perfect.
There's a way.
Come on, government, do something right.
But the thing is like it probably makes you poop, but you also grow like a third ear.
Yeah, like there's a side effect we haven't heard
of.
Yeah,
it might be worth
where
it grows, but
very true. Your vagina turns into an ear instead.
I don't like it.
Never mind.
I'll get it pierced.
Get a nice hoop ear.
Yeah. But he is quoted saying, "The day science begins to study the non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence." Mm. He definitely was a believer in the non-physical, paraphysical, like what is energy, what is a soul, right. what can we not see?
Yeah, I was going to say he had to have been just yeah. like with the things that he was able to discover about electricity mm-hmm. and like the natural energy in everything around us. It's
oh,
like
yeah.
you have to believe in
like
you
start
that you
sensing
can't see.
Stuff yeah that yeah. you can't see. You gotta come up with something. But if he's a little too cuckoo for you skeptics, we can all trust Carl Sagan.
Yes, we can.
Good old Carl
yes,
Sagan, Cosmos
can.
Carl Sagan. He was very skeptical of non-mainstream work. But he is quoted as saying there are three claims in paraphysiology, which, in my opinion, deserve serious study. He lists A, B, and the third being that young children sometimes report details of a previous life, which upon checking turn out to be accurate and which they could have not known about in any other way than reincarnation.
The only person I trust more than Carl Sagan is Mr. Rogers.
Oh my God.
So wonder if Mr. Rogers ever had a quote on reincarnation.
Oh my God.
I highly doubt it, but maybe I'm going to go on the hunt.
Oh my God. That'd be fantastic. So I just wanted to lay down all that kind of scientific, like, take this with a grain of salt, if you will, call it reincarnation or not. Mm-hmm. But I have some very creepy, spooky, sticky, whatever you guys stories.
All the words.
Yeah, some of like the main highlights. So right now, the leading professor in, he's actually Ian Stevenson's predecessor at the University of Virginia.
Wait, who's?
Even Stevens. Dr. Jim Tucker, or Professor Jim Tucker, he has been studying this for quite a while now and has kind of picked up where Stevenson left off.
Is Love he American? It. Were
I
they American?
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a great
They're from
question.
The University of Virginia. I'm not
okay.
sure about Ian Stevenson.
That makes sense. Oh, yeah. University Press of Virginia, Charlottesville.
Nice.
There you go.
Jim Tucker. I actually was kind of like amazed where I found this. He did like an NPR interview in 2014. Yeah. And if you can't trust NPR,
who can you trust? Oh, we already covered this. Mr. Rogers.
Carl Sagan.
So he encountered this boy named James. James is the son of a Christian couple in Louisiana. And when he was little, he loved his toy planes. But also around the time of his second birthday, he started having horrific nightmares 4 or 5 times a week of being in a plane crash. During the day, he would talk about this plane crash and said that he had been a pilot and that he had flown off a boat. Over time, his dad would ask him questions and he asked him the name of the boat, to which James replied, Natoma. He then said he had been shot down by the Japanese, that he had been killed at Iwo Jima, and that he had a friend on the boat named Jack Larson.
Very specific.
This kid is 2.
Right.
So
it's like, Jack Larson.
Yeah. I would be having a heart attack if my little 2-year-old was like, Jack Larson, my friend on the boat.
Was like, in Iwo Jima. I'd be like, excuse me?
How do you even know what that is?
I don't even know if I'd take him to a doctor. I'd just sprint out of the house screaming.
Well, they ended up taking him to... this guy, Jim Tucker.
And he
started doing a research looking into it. It turns out there was an aircraft carrier called the USS Natoma Bay that was stationed in the Pacific during World War II. In fact, it was involved in Iwo Jima and lost one pilot there.
Who? Who was it?
A young man named James Huston. So they have the same name, James and James. James Huston's plane crashed exactly the way that James, I don't want to say his last name just in case, but James L. will say, had described. Got hit in the engine, exploding into fire, crashing into the water, and quickly sinking. And when that happened, the pilot of the plane next to his was Jack Larson.
Shut your damn mouth.
How? And what? This wasn't a story that would have been in history books.
No. I mean, enough so that they could go and look, where was there a boat Natoma? Okay, let's pull up the registry of the USS Natoma.
Right, you have to take a lot of research.
You have to do a lot of work to find that information.
Plus, I guess I don't know a lot of people with kids, so I don't really know what age 2 is, but are they reading history books at age 2?
No.
This would have to be a parent's did all this research to like.
Yeah, and they're like saying it to the child over and over. Say Iwo Jima.
And the kid's like, Fraggle Rock. And they're like, no.
Started at a very young 2, they stress. And like with most of these cases, it faded away by the time he was 5 or 6, which is typical.
That's nutty that it fades.
It's almost
like they're first born and the memory is so fresh because it just happened.
The memory is so fresh, and then like once we start making our own.
Once you start preschool, once you start venturing out of the house. Yeah. He said a lot of times when they start school, like they'll start making their own memories and it all kind of starts to fade away. You guys want another one?
Yes.
Cool.
I've nicknamed them in my notes. I called this one Ryan Hollywood.
Ooh. It's like Paul Hollywood on
that
the Great
like
British
a porn
Baking
star
Show.
Name.
Yeah, right?
Or the Great British Baking
yeah,
Show.
That
yeah,
too.
That's
oh,
innocent.
Yeah. What's his name? Something
Paul Hollywood.
Paul Hollywood. God, he's the best.
Love him.
Love him so much. Okay, so Ryan's story begins when he was 4. When he was experiencing frequent horrible nightmares. It always starts with nightmares.
Poor kids.
Ryan would wake up in the middle of the night screaming and clutching his chest, saying that he dreamed his heart had exploded when he was in Hollywood.
Oh, in Hollywood.
When he turned 5, he made an announcement to his mother. He told her, I used to be somebody else. Hmm. Which would be
Pardon
break
me?
My heart. He would often talk about, quote, going home to Hollywood. He said he remembered a big white house and a swimming pool that was many miles from his Oklahoma home. He said he had 3 sons but couldn't remember their names, and he would begin to cry, asking his mother over and over why he couldn't remember their names. He told detailed stories about meeting stars like Rita Hayworth, dancing in Broadway productions, and working for an agency where people would frequently change their names. He even remembered that the name of the street he used to live on had the word rock in it. Ryan's mother, Cindy, said that his stories were so detailed and they were so extensive that it just wasn't like a child could have made it up. Yeah. So Cindy decided to check out some books about Hollywood from her local library, just kind of wanted to indulge it, thinking maybe something would catch her son's attention, and it did. I have a picture here. They're flipping through the book, and all of a sudden, Ryan saw this picture and says, "Mom, that's me." The picture was from a film called Night After Night, and the man was Marty Martin, who had been a movie extra and later became a powerful Hollywood agent before passing away in 1964.
Okay.
Now, here's the weird thing. I didn't include this, but when I was researching it, this is another one who went to Jim Tucker, the doctor, and he helped them research it. So when they found this picture, he's uncredited. They looked up the movie Night After Night. He's just an uncredited extra. So Jim Tucker actually went through the research, and like in 2 weeks he found, okay, this guy is Marty Martin. And Martin had in fact danced on Broadway, worked at an agency where stage names were often created for new clients, traveled overseas to Paris, and lived at 825 North Roxbury Drive.
I was trying to think of a street with a rock in Los Angeles when you were saying
in Beverly Roxbury. Hills. So he was doing all right.
He was doing okay.
These were all the details that Ryan was able to communicate to Tucker before they learned the identity of who he described. The most remarkable still is the fact that Ryan knew Martin had two sisters. But when they got in touch with Martin's daughter, mm-hmm. Martin's own daughter didn't know that.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, though. They actually like contacted his daughter and was like, "Hey, this is going to sound really weird, but can we bring this kid to meet you?"
Yeah.
And he instantly knew who she was. He was talking about stuff that like only her dad would know. Whoa. He remembers like in detail their maid and his wife. And they said these are just a few of 55 incredible facts that Ryan can remember from his previous life as Marty Martin. And though he ages, his memory becomes increasingly dim. So he's losing these memories.
He's starting to lose it.
Mm-hmm. What did Marty die from?
Heart attack. That was the, he was.
He said, "My heart exploded in Hollywood.
And my heart was exploding."
Oh.
Where did he live? In America.
In America. I think. This one doesn't say.
No, it doesn't say.
It probably says somewhere. I just didn't think to write that down.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just didn't know if it was close to Hollywood.
Like
or
if he
Beverly
would have
Hills.
Known anything about it.
Oh, no. I'm just wondering, like, when we're thinking of, like you were saying earlier, when reincarnation cases, like most of them take place within the same country.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of wondering what space had to do with who you get right. reincarnated
well
as.
When I was doing research, they say most of the time it's your own country, but like there were a lot of ones that they found over east, like where a big battle had been fought in World War II and a lot of Japanese soldiers died that wasn't in Japan. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cases they were Japanese soldiers, so that's one of the times when like
it was completely somewhere else.
Yeah, it was just completely somewhere else.
Interesting.
I have one more.
Do it.
This one, they've noticed, like, there's always the memories. You can always go back and kind of trace that stuff. There's also one other eerie fact when it comes to children and reincarnation, and that is birthmarks.
Oh, mm. Yes.
So, apologies in advance for the pronunciations, but Chennai Chimaliwong, a boy from Thailand, when he was 3 years old, he began saying that he had a teacher named Bu Kwai, who had been shot and killed one day as he rode his bicycle to school. I'm sorry, not that he had a teacher, that
he
had
was
been
a teacher.
He had
oh,
been
wow.
a teacher.
Named Boy Kwa, who was shot and killed when he rode to school. He begged to be taken to his parents, that is, Boy Ka's parents, and he named the village where he said they lived. Eventually, he and his grandmother took a bus that stopped in a town near that village. His grandmother reported that after they got off the bus, Chennai led her to a house where an older couple lived. Chennai appeared to recognize the couple, who were the parents of Bu Kwai. Again, I really can't say this name. I think I've said it different
Honestly,
every
I
single
time. I think it's sounding really good.
Thank you so much.
I'm believing it.
They were his parents, a teacher who had been shot and killed on the way to school 5 years before Chennai was born. No autopsy report was available for Bu Kwai, so Stevenson interviewed witnesses who saw the body. His widow reported that the doctor involved in the case said that her husband had been shot from behind because the small round wound on the back of his head was a typical entry wound, whereas the larger, more irregularly shaped wound on his forehead was typical of an exit wound.
Okay.
Chennai was born with two birthmarks, a small round birthmark on the back of his head and a larger, more irregularly shaped one towards the front.
That
boy, oh boy.
Bad
what
shit.
A fucking coincidence.
That's and this was what crazy. Year?
This one was one of Stevenson's cases. So this was like back earlier. In the 60s.
60s, 70s. So, and the thing about that is they did not have Google.
No.
Yeah. They did not have a way to like research these things to be like, I think I'm going to like get notoriety for saying that I'm a dead guy. Right.
Yeah.
Also, I'm two.
A 2-year-old figure out what town is next to me.
Let me just pick
these people at random and see if they'll go along with it.
We type it into the Google it doesn't exist and learn how to read a newspaper.
Learn how to read.
Yeah. There is a disclaimer at the end of all this research when I was looking at Jim Tucker. It's very difficult just to map these cases onto a materialist understanding of reality. If like the physical world, physical matter is all there is, then I don't know how you can accept these cases and believe in them. But I think this is him talking to. But I think there are good reasons to think that consciousness can be considered a separate entity from physical reality. And in fact, some leading scientists in the past, like Max Planck, who was the father of quantum theory, said that he viewed consciousness as fundamental and that matter was derived from it. So in that case, it would mean that consciousness would not necessarily be dependent on a physical brain.
Yep.
And that's all this is. It's a belief in the paraphysical realm, whether you want to call it a soul, whether you want to call it a consciousness, or just energy being returned to the universe. There's something that carries memory with it.
Yeah.
From before you were born.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Which is
from
crazy.
Another life, another universe, another something.
Yeah, another dimension. Who fucking knows?
We don't even know.
I shouldn't curse, God's listening. While we're on the subject of just like children with these memories, can I read my submissions?
Yeah.
My little submissions. Okay, so I had written a thing on my favorite website, Reddit.
Love it.
I basically said, you know, I was doing an episode on reincarnation and I asked people if they had any stories, people with children. Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories of like them saying things that led you to believe that reincarnation is real or that they had been reincarnated? And I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 really good ones. I got a ton, but I got 5 really good ones that I want to share with you. One person said, I didn't write down any names because I didn't have time to be like, will you allow
Can
me
we
to
say
use
your name?
So person number one said, getting my 2.5-year-old daughter out of the bath one night. My wife and I were briefing her on how important it was that she kept her privates clean. She casually replied, oh, nobody scroofs me there. They tried one night. They kicked the door in and tried, but I fought back. I died and now I'm here. She said it like it was nothing.
What the fuck?
2.5 years old.
Nothing.
Talking about her private area.
Oh my gosh, I never want my kid to say anything like that.
But they then again, at least you know she was a badass in her previous
life.
That's
true. Like, oh, they tried. They tried it one time.
They were dead. Now I'm dead.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like past lives go that you can be like stuck with.
Sure.
She was a badass.
But oh my gosh, my jaw would just hit the floor. I think I would accidentally drop my child back into the bath because I'd be like, what? Whoopsies.
But the second one, and I lied, I have 4, not 5. The second one is, while playing classroom with my 3-year-old brother, he made an offhand comment about being in my mother's belly twice. I was amused and I said, oh, really? And he proceeded to tell me in amazing detail of being inside our mother. He told me about it being warm and that he liked it, but he always felt sick. And one day he got so sick that they came and told him he had to leave. And he didn't want to, so they promised him that he would get to come back again and come back to our mom. So he left and they let him come back again, and this time he didn't feel sick. I lost my fucking mind and I started screaming for my mother. He told her the same story then, and after she finally stopped crying, we were allowed to talk about it. I was 10 and I was old enough to remember that my mother had a miscarriage about a year before my brother was born. Side note, I'm not religious, but my brother always kind of makes me wonder.
Oh my God.
That's nuts.
There were several submissions of people saying, you know, to their mother that they remembered being in her belly, mm-hmm. and that like they weren't there anymore, but they made it back to her.
Oh my
God. And that mother being like, holy crap.
Shit. Yeah.
Real quick, there was one I read where a little girl like was really attached to her swimming coach because she used to be in her tummy is what she told her mom. So she thought that she was the miscarried
baby of her swim coach.
Whoa. So like she was very attached to her and like would sometimes spend the night at her house, and finally her parents were like, no, this is too weird.
Yeah.
And they took her away and like it was a bad falling out and they lost connection with the swim teacher and the little girl didn't talk for like 4.5 months.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, she's had that same thing of saying, I remember being in her tummy.
That just gives me all the feels. As bizarre as it is, that's like so emotional and sweet. I like to think that a miscarried baby does get another chance. That's such a nice
thing.
Yeah. Am I going to cry?
Am I crying right now? The next one. When my nephew was 3 or 4, he would stare at the window in my parents' kitchen. One day, my mom asked him what he was looking at, and he said, when I lived here before, my name was Alphonse, and I was bigger than you.
I like that name.
What a name.
Right? Sexy name.
Hello, you should have made my name Alphonse, parents.
My name was Alphonse, and I was bigger than you. My mom was slightly creeped out and eventually told my stepdad. My stepdad just kind of blinked and said, that was my grandfather's name, but we don't talk about him. So the kid all of a sudden was like, when I lived here before, this was my name, and I was bigger than you are. And it happened to be the name of his stepdad. Anyways.
Wow.
Gross.
This is the last one. I really like this one. I don't know why. This person sent this in. This was them that said this. And their parents talk about it all the time. Their family members talk about it all the time. So they said, I don't remember doing this, but the story from my family is as follows. My family has a house on a small island on a lake in central Canada, where my grandfather, who I never met, he died less than a month before I was born, used to spend his summers with his family. We went out to visit one year for the first time when I was 5 or 6. After getting off the boat, I immediately took off running up the path to my house. My parents chased after me, and I ducked behind a small shed just off the main path. My mom asked what I was doing, to which I answered, when I was older, I used to smoke here. My mom told everyone at dinner what I said, and everyone got pretty freaked out, because my grandpa used to steal cigarettes from his dad and go hide behind that shed and smoke when he was a teenager.
Oh my God.
So he literally like ran up to this place, had never been there before, ran up, like didn't know where he was going, hid behind a shed and said, when I was older, I used to smoke here.
Yeah. Ugh. What a weird thing to say, but also that's hilarious.
Do you think that kid's going
to
be predetermined? Like he's just going to be a smoker now?
He's
like,
got to be. Yeah. Right? Ramp.
He's it's set be. In the stars.
Yeah. Set in the stars. Bad habit, but you're going to look real cool for a while.
Going to look badass behind that shed.
Behind that shed smoking those non-filtered cigarettes. That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Everyone head over to Instagram and follow Laura at Laura LaRue. We've tagged her in several posts if you are not sure about the spelling. And while you're there, follow us at Keep It Weirdcast and on our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Join us next week as we continue this conversation and talk about some of the ways that reincarnation has been incorporated into therapy. And you'll hear about transmigration of consciousness as I share one of the absolute craziest stories I've ever heard in my life. Check out our Etsy page at www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast if you want to grab some sweet merch. Check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find ways you can donate to the show and get bonus minisodes and other content and bi-weekly newsletters that are full of horror movie news, trivia, and extra spooky stories. If you have any ghost stories of your own that you've been sitting on, now is the time to send them in, because soon we are recording our Halloween edition of Listener Ghost Stories. It is going to be extra spooky. All right, ghoulies, continue to keep it weird, And I'll see you in another life when we are both cats. When we first started, we drank wine all the time.
Yeah.
But that was before, like, I had a job. Right. So it was like I could just get fucking schwasty. I could get like drunk. Toasted on a Wednesday.
And it was fine. And yeah, I did have a job, but I got drunk with her anyway. And
you suffered through the headaches the next day. Yep. It was worth it.
Taught the children with a migraine. Taught it the was children. Fine.
Teach the children.
Yeah.
There's so much mystery.
God damn it, Trevor.
I'm like getting all fired up all over again.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.